Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Unchurched Live. It is a no-holds-barred spiritual conversation for the seeker and the skeptic. I am your co-host, Finesse, a.k.a. Michael T. I'm here with my co-host, my partner, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner. Dr. Gardner, how are you doing this evening?
Well, amidst of all the technical difficulties we're having here in Arizona, my internet service is down. So if I look kind of faded, don't hold it against me. Don't say that I didn't wash my face or anything like that.
Exactly.
Just talking on my iPhone.
Doc, this is kind of old school, but if you look faded, it doesn't mean that you are.
Doc, if
you will, sir, just pull back from the camera a little bit, if you don't mind.
How about that?
A little bit more, just a little bit more. I'm looking at our images on Facebook. Thank you for those who are logging. As a matter of fact, the more you're pulling back, the clearer your image is becoming. So that's good. That's good right there. So, everybody, tonight's topic, that's good. Nope, you're correct. You're good. So, everybody, I'm just going to hit up Dr. Gardner. I'm going to share the screen with him, broadcast with him. And we are live. We are simulcasting on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm just going to send this to Blog Talk and to Facebook that we're broadcasting live. Yes, there's someone who has already called in. Doctor, would you know who that would be? Is that our guest tonight?
That might be Dr. Brown.
All right. So let me, Dr. Brown, if you want, I'm going to bring you on in just a moment. Just want to announce the topic tonight. Thank you for those who are logging on. Tonight's topic is going to be particularly, that image is clear, Doc, that the topic tonight is faith in science. It promises to be very provocative. As always, we want it to be informative. I don't know if this is the new term, Dr. Gardner, but we want to engage in some infotainment tonight. Infotainment.
Infotainment. Okay.
So if you want to speak on the air, you have a question or comment, we can accept multiple call-ins via Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to give you the call-in number, 657-383-0106, 657-383-0106. And Dr. Brown, if you would like to speak on the air, please press 1 so that I know you want to speak on the air as opposed to call in just to listen. So we are, let's start this party off right, Doc.
All right.
Faith and science. Yeah, the question becomes, are the two reconcilable? Can the two work together? Or is science diametrically opposed to faith and faith diametrically opposed to science? That said, let me bring on our caller.
Thomas L. Brown.
Yes, Dr. Brown, how are you, sir? Welcome to Unchurched Live. It is a no-holds-barred spiritual conversation for the seeker and the skeptic. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, and how are you all both doing this evening?
We're doing well.
We're doing well.
So, Doc, are you going to be hanging out with us for the entire show? Did you have a comment? What brings you to the show tonight?
Well, Dr. Steve Gardner, one of my former students, asked me to come on to be on the show.
Okay, all right. He let me know. He sent me a text saying that you'd be calling in. So I didn't want to assume that you were going to be on the entire show. Are you going to hang out for the entire show, Doctor?
Is it an hour show or is it a 2-hour show?
It's an hour show.
Okay, there's no problem. I'm here.
All right, I'm glad you're here. So we're going to start off, and let's define some terms. We're going to define, each of us, what science is, and then we're going to define what faith is. So as this is old school, y'all, this is a Southern comment. I'm standing in some tall cotton tonight, y'all. I got two doctors on the show, so I'm standing among giants. So this should be a very, very interesting conversation. So, Dr. Gardner, when you think about the word science, thank you for those who are logging on, what is science to you? What comes to mind?
It's knowledge.
Knowledge. Okay. Is it a particular kind of knowledge?
The tangible realm that we live in, which is Earth, and so science is that which is a study of how things work and how things function that are made of matter.
I like that. So we have the biological sciences, we have the physical sciences, so biological sciences, I would say biology, chemistry, anatomy, physiology. We have the physical sciences, we have geography, geology, then we have the human sciences, psychology, human development, et cetera, all based in the natural order of things. Yes?
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all based on the natural order.
So Dr. Brown, why don't you add to that? When you think of the word science, how would you define that?
I would define it as a state of consciousness of the visible and the invisible, the esoteric and the exoteric.
I knew I was standing next to Tall Cat tonight. The esoteric and the exoteric. So, Doctor, you got to break that down. And thank you for those who are logging on. Unchurched Live, tonight's topic is faith in science. I'm your co-host, Finesse. I'm here with my co-host, as always, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner. And I'm also here with a special guest calling in via Blog Talk Radio. So you will hear his voice, but not see his face this time, but we want to invite him to come back, Dr. Thomas Brown. So, Doctor, please define for us what is the esoteric and what is the exoteric as it concerns science.
Yeah, those two terms are part of the linguistic systems of what we use terms to create thought. God is the science. I said it there.
Uh-huh.
Is the science. And that's the closest thing we can place to God. And historically, thousands of years ago, man knew there was something beyond, within, and human. And I don't deal with God in gender. God is another extension, another extension. We are extensions of the divine beingness. So I will not often phrase God as he or she. The he and she gender things are what we use to do our best to define our relationship to something that we know is beyond us. So I would just make it very clear and simple. God is science. Science is God.
Okay, so doctor, you're saying that science and faith go hand in hand.
There, faith is a science.
Okay. So all right. I hear that.
Faith is your esoteric beingness, but you have a tendency to deal with your five senses, the exoteric, that which you feel is materialistic and that you can see, that you can hear, that you can taste, that you can touch. And that keeps you locked in. But faith is one of the pieces of the science of God.
All right. So this is going to be an interesting conversation, because there are those who see science and faith as irreconcilable. There are those scientists who are atheists. There are those scientists who are agnostics, and there are those scientists, pardon me, who are theists. All right, so let me weigh into the science piece. And doctor, thank you for your comment. I think science, including what Dr. Brown has said, in the sense of the material, what Dr. Gardner said, I think science is a realm of inquiry that looks to substantiate or prove something by empirical evidence. So that which can be empirically tested and verified. That is why in science there are theories and hypotheses. So for me, classic science does not have to posit a belief in God to be science. That's just me. All right. So I want to hear somebody. I think Alfred, hold on one second. Let me go back to Facebook. Alfred Samuel said, science is the study of living and non-living things. I like that. So if anybody else wants to weigh into what is science, please hit us up in the chat or call in 657-383-0106, 657-383-0106. Let's move on and talk about what is faith.
Which, I mean, you know, your faith is a belief. I mean, we can get right down to the historical, biblical definition of faith. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the assurance of things not seen or that which is invisible. So faith, if from a biblical standpoint, is that. I think faith could also be related to as being a sixth sense.
Interesting. I like that. No, I've never heard faith as defined as a sixth sense. And also, is someone moving a microphone? Because I'm hearing what sounds like the moving of a microphone, and it's coming across on the air.
Okay.
All right.
So faith is a sixth sense, which means that it does not rely upon the senses to give it its verity or give it its understanding. For example, if we again draw from Hebrews chapter 11, it says these words: through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, obviously, if I rely upon my six senses, I didn't see the worlds made. But through faith, it gives me a snapshot as how the things that are not came into being.
I like that. Let me just acknowledge Charles Franklin. Chuck is watching. Charles Franklin, we appreciate you watching. And Russell Lagan, my co-host for Urban Entrepreneurs, broadcasting every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. We had a very provocative show entitled Millionaire is the New Middle Class. Russ, we have a Dr. Thomas Brown on. He's called in via Blog Talk, so you won't see him, but you're going to hear him. That said, Nicole Monique, how are you? And so, Dr. Brown, what is faith?
I can appreciate and accommodate both of you all in your uses of faith out of the Western tradition. And,
okay.
And you are quoting the scriptures of those of the Western world. I view faith, I can see faith and understand it when I look through the Western lenses. And when I see it from what you all are speaking from, the scripture, the Hebrew, and the way they express it, I just say faith is that something esoterically that's within you.
I like that.
Okay.
It's intrinsic. I'll use a $10 word, as they say. It is intrinsic within the human being.
It's intrinsic within the human spirit.
It's intrinsic within the human spirit. So
correct.
Let me add to that. Thank you, doctor.
I'm going to make it
simple. I won't say more simple than it's already been said. I'm going to make it simple. For me, faith is belief in. And again, I'm hearing some clicking over the air. So I don't know if somebody's adjusting a mic or something, but let's see if we can monitor that. Faith is belief in. Faith is intrinsic, as Dr. Brown said, within the human spirit. Dr. Gardner, faith, it from a biblical perspective, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So let me capture Michael Manning. How are you? Thank you for the like. Alfred Samuel, and faith is an individualized belief in science. Like if you touch fire, you'll get burned, and some don't like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. thank you, Alfred Samuel. So, all right, so we have two. Listen, I will take for this evening the more secular side. Thank you for those who are logging on. And let me do a quick station identification. You are watching and you're listening to Unchurched Live and No Holds Barred, Spiritual Conversation for the Seeker and the Skeptic. I'm your co-host, Finesse, along with my co-host, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner, and our special guest co-host, who is calling in via Blog Talk Radio, Dr. Thomas Brown. Dr. Brown, it's good to have you tonight, and thank you for those who are continuing to log on. Tonight's topic is faith and science. So I'm going to start this off, and I'm going to take it from a more secular perspective, that science and faith are two separate realms of inquiry and existence. Dr. Gardner, do you believe that also? Is it two separate realms?
No, I don't believe there are two separate realms. I think that they are connected.
How so?
It's just that, because we live in a world that compartmentalizes everything. You know, it's either flesh or spirit, it's either this or that, it's either in or out. I think there's an overlap, as it were, between faith and science.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if the reason why people don't embrace the overlap is because of fear. And, you know, those in the faith camp, and I say, you know, religion, you know, may have trouble seeing an overlap between their belief system and science. And likewise, those in the science camp may have trouble understanding or embracing the overlap of faith. I think there's an overlap that exists between the two, and I think that as we, I think the goal is to learn how to, you know, to navigate between science and faith. I'll say this: I believe in a lot of ways that science itself validates what we actually believe in our heart. On the other hand, what we believe in our heart should not negate the fact what we discovered through inquiry.
All right. So, Dr. Brown, will you add to that? Can faith and science work together?
My brother Steve has said it, and the word that is not really discussed within the Western Hemisphere, but we heard the word. All he's speaking of is metaphysics.
All right. So
yeah, okay.
So, doctor, please define what you mean by metaphysics.
Steve defined metaphysics. They're both interrelated. But we also got to realize that we not only live on a planet. Where do we live? We live in a universe. And we're not only in a universe, but we're also tied into a whole cosmic experience that covers millions and millions of stars and planets of our being and our existence. So when Steve was speaking between the tie of science and faith, he was speaking to a discipline that we do not really in the West study, and it's called metaphysics. And metaphysics recognizes that our whole beingness is relative, is in a state of relativity. And a state of relativity is a state of being of consciousness that does not lack into right and wrong, black or white, dark or light. Just think on that.
Thank you, doctor. So I want to also, all right, Stephanie Marie, thank you for, as always, on a weekly basis, watching the show. Science, in an opinion, explains that what things are and how they work and how they work. Faith explains who made them. I like that. Faith, Russell Ligon, faith, like our personal belief system, is something that we all possess. Some have faith in things, some in people, many more in God. The power of our faith emanates directly from where we choose to place our faith. I like that. So I will adopt a distinctly Western mindset with respect to this. And Dr. Thomas, I thank you for distinguishing between, I would say, an Eastern approach to science or mindset about it and Western. I will still say that science and faith are two separate realms because faith is something that in its essence cannot be empirically verified or, what's the opposite of verified, or disproven. For example, I cannot prove the resurrection of Christ any more than a scientist can disprove it. It has to be believed. To the best of my knowledge, in Islam, it is believed that the angel Gabriel spoke to the prophet Muhammad, and they would say peace and blessings be upon him, the words of the Quran. And if there's anyone in Islam who is watching, and if I'm mistaken about that, please correct me. The scientists can't disprove that. And the Muslim can't prove it. It is beyond the realm of reason, if you will, beyond the realm of empirical verification. And for me, foundation to science in the Western sense is the ability to empirically test and verify. So that's my take on it. Dr. Gardner, did you want to add to that or say something?
I mean, you know, the thing about it is, and you know, even though we differ in how we're approaching our understanding of faith and science, let me say this. The reason why I say there's an overlap in how the two can exist, coexist together, let's use the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to pull something out of the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, can you see heaven?
Cannot.
Yeah, you cannot. So heaven is a realm. Would we not agree?
We would agree.
So it's a realm that cannot be seen with our natural eyes, per se. However, Jesus taught the disciples to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the overlap is, if heaven is a spiritual reality, then heaven and that spiritual reality is supposed to be experienced in our natural reality. So there's an overlap between heaven and earth.
Okay.
That.
Hello? Doctor, you still there? Okay,
yeah,
no, I'm listening to you. And Dr. Brown, just if you would, let Dr. Gardner finish his comment, and then I'll bring you in.
Okay,
Dr. Brown, jump in. What were you going to say, sir?
No, I said I was trying to say to you, I hear him, and as you said very clearly, you're presenting a Western concept. As you know, the scriptures were developed as we have the King James Version, we got to go way back to the origin of how scriptures developed. And in the Western tradition, I think you all, both of you, have a very good interpretation or analysis of how it's perceived. And I don't refute that because that is the Western way.
Mm. Yes, and listen, okay. I will say that although I have studied Eastern religions, I consider myself ecumenical and interfaith. I was educated in America in a Western educational system, both college and graduate school. So I am, and yet I'm a man of faith. So that is my frame of reference. And again, I appreciate Dr. Thomas, that you have let us know that there's an Eastern approach, if you will, and a Western approach. And Dr. Gardner, I appreciate you bringing in scripture to the discussion. So I will say that there are some benefits of science. I will start. There's some benefits. I mean, technological advances, whether we're talking about video chat platforms, internet television, whether we're talking about internet radio, iPhones, Androids, smart cars. We want to stay away from self-driving cars because I think Uber has some issues.
So
solar power, you understand, wind power, et cetera. So I think science regarding technological advances have improved the quality of life. Vaccinations, I mean, that's an older type of technological advance. Improvements in diagnostics and medicine, biomedical engineering, the list goes on and on. So I think there are some benefits to science. Doctor, would you say, Dr. Gardner, would you say that there's some benefits to science?
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, absolutely there's some benefits to science based upon the definition that we're using it for and our way of explaining it. I think that I do struggle with trying to see where the two are separate. I think the two, you know, they work interdependently.
Mm.
There's a interdependent approach to both science and faith. And if we look at it through the interdependent lens, then there's going to have to be a conversation between those who are driven more so by science and those who are driven more so by faith. And let's talk about, you know, the reality that will emerge when we begin to converse together. And you'll find, and I believe that in many cases, you'll find that science, you know, validates a lot of stuff that we believe. And so one cannot discount the other. To do so is to deny a definition of science, and that's knowledge.
I'm Googling right now, and while I'm Googling this, Dr. Thomas, would you like to weigh into that? I'm Googling Stephen Hawking, who passed recently. Was he a person of faith?
Yeah, he passed just last week. I'm hearing you all, and I understand clearly where you are in your state of consciousness. And for me, God is science. Science is God. I just keep that locking in that. And faith is one of the expressions of the science of God.
So,
okay,
hold on. I hope this is okay. This is the Washington Post. I hope it's not a commercial embedded. So this is what it says, and I'm not at all saying, including this to debate anyone. Stephen Hawking. Let's see. It looks like that, all right, Stephen Hawking, who died last week at age 76, was about as pure an atheist as they come. I regard the brain as a computer which will stop working when its components fail. So, again, not proving my point, but yet allowing for the fact that not every scientist is a theist. I mean, I think we have to acknowledge that there are scientists who were atheists. One of the most noticeable, or should I say noteworthy, Stephen Hawking was an astrophysicist, I believe. He was an atheist. There are other scientists who are agnostic, and an agnostic simply says, I don't know. And yet there are also scientists who are persons of faith, Muslim, Jew, Christian, etc. So I think for some, and this and I'm going to just kind of push this a bit, I think for some, the overlap is a belief because we can't prove that. See what I'm saying? And maybe in tonight's show, I'll take the secularist perspective. We can say there's an overlap. We can believe there's an overlap, but we can't prove that there's an overlap. Just like the atheist can't prove there is not, because for me, foundational to my understanding of science is that it is something that needs to be verified empirically. So we can, see what I'm saying? We can, there are laws of physics that we can verify. There's carbon dating that we can verify. You see what I'm saying? At the same time, the theory of evolution. Is it microevolution and macroevolution? You see what I'm saying? So I'm not saying we need to be careful. I think we need to allow for the fact that there are some, and maybe some who are watching, who don't see that there's an overlap between science and religion, or that God is science. Now, I believe that God created human beings.
That is subjective. and how we approach it.
Say that, doctor, say that again.
I said that means that it's subjective in how we approach this.
How we approach
because
what?
Because each of us have our understanding of science and faith.
And you know, and doctor,
subjective.
Yeah, and doctor, listen, it's interesting that we have three viewpoints on the show, and I think our viewpoints are representative of what's out there in the marketplace. You see what I'm saying? So I think what we're doing is elucidating different parts of what's out there, and it's all part of the conversation. So let me just say this, and Dr. Thomas, I want to bring you back in, talking about what are some of the benefits of science. And you are listening to and watching Unchurched Live. It is a no-holds-barred spiritual conversation for the seeker and the skeptic. I'm your co-host, Finesse, along with my co-host, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner, and our special guest co-host, Dr. Thomas. And tonight's topic is faith in science. We see things a bit differently, and that's okay. We're not telling the viewing and listening audience what to believe. We're saying this is how we see it. This is the topic. If anybody wants to call in, 657-383-0106. There are some, Alfred Samuel, Stephanie Marie, Russell Lagan, who've hit us up in the chat. Michael, Kevin Manning, thank you. So what do you think? Are there benefits to science, Dr. Thomas?
As I listen to both of you, science, when I say God is and science is God, and when I listen to you explain what scientists, the individual scientists, are working with, I see the presence of the God presence within them individually. But at the same point, if there was no existence is science, and science is God, and God is science, the existence, when we individualize individuals, they show it to you out of their lenses of how they see, many times how they see themselves. And sometimes there are the others who see the others, and sometimes how they look at others is a reflection of how they see themselves.
All right. Okay. All right. I think there are benefits to science. I think, for example, we talked about technological advances, biblical criticism. Now, criticism does not mean biblical. It's not a negative concept. Biblical criticism is biblical evaluation, if you will, biblical analysis. What are the original languages of the scripture? What is the historical context in which the scriptures were written? What are the different types of literary genres? All of that, whether it's higher biblical criticism, which came out of Germany, which takes a more scientific approach to the investigating of scripture, or lower biblical criticism that takes less of a scientific, hard science approach. And I would say, Dr. Gardner, Dr. Thomas, and correct me if I'm wrong, more of a faith-driven approach. There is benefit to that. There are some things that we've learned about scripture from this whole notion of biblical criticism, which I think is helpful. And Adrian Wilson, how are you? Thank you for sharing the video. Thank you for watching tonight. Doctor, would you say that biblical criticism is evidence, Dr. Gardner, of the benefit of science?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that cannot be disputed there. Biblical criticism came out,
Post-Enlightenment.
Right around that time. And that was when you got Enlightenment, you got, at the same time, you had other philosophies that were competing for our attention, evolution, you know, Darwinism and the like. And so one of the things that came out was biblical criticism, where they wanted to, on the one hand, to try to either disprove the scripture, on the other hand, to try to, you know, to delve, which is, and try to better understand. Biblical criticism from that standpoint is a good way of approaching the text. Obviously, there are a lot of times we hear people quote scripture, and you hear the term, they quoted it out of context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we could pull, I could quote a lot of scriptures right now if I want to go down that route that we quote out of context. But then when we look at it from through the lens of biblical criticism, we find out the context was not what we thought it was. We don't read into the context our own opinions, but we'll let the scripture speak to us and from its original language. So biblical criticism does, from the standpoint, has helped us, and I have to default to what Dr. Brown said, helped us understand the Western worldview of Christianity.
Yes, and let me just say, Dr. Brown, before I bring you back in, Michael K. Manning, perhaps faith in science can be defined as two types of principles and practices we utilize to develop understanding and give meaning to ourselves and the world in which we exist. I like that. I like that. Two different realms. Dr. Brown, why don't you weigh in, sir?
Well, I hear and I understand everything you're saying, and in regard to having students from my experiences have been able to travel in this world, in India, in Africa, and in China, and understanding how those different cultures view the divine. And I can recognize how the Western world, European world, views and cultivated this great, what I call institution called Christianity. And our boy Mahatma Gandhi said, I accept Christ, but I can't accept your Christianity. Very few people realize that the church father of Christianity was an African, Saint Augustine. Now you study Saint Augustine's writings, you'll get another viewpoint of this phenomenon called faith, Christ, believing, and then you study Origen and the early writers before the scriptures were ever placed there. You will see different. It's like this story told over in the East. Blind men grab the elephant, and every blind man who grabbed the elephant defined the elephant. One would grab the foot and say, "This is the truth." Another one would grab the tail and say, "This is the truth." Another would grab the snoot, and I'm saying this is what has happened in the realm of what we would call faith, religion, because in our own consciousness, we're holding on to our own perceptions of great phenomenon of the divine.
Thank you, Doctor. Russell Ligon, science and faith both are relevant and serve their respective purpose in life as long as those paradigms are not used to dominate, control, or abuse one's right to choose their own self-determination. I like that. I agree. I think, as I said, there are benefits to science. Obviously, there are benefits to faith, and that is why we, in many respects, hello, Adrian Wilson, in many respects, we have Unchurched Live, and this is why we have these kinds of conversations, which at times are more heady, more intellectual, because there's certain conversations that can't be had on Sunday morning. And Sunday morning is basically a monologue with encouragement. Bible study is typically a dialogue, but it's for the purpose of teaching us what to believe, right? So here we have an open-ended discussion with contribution from the listeners and the viewers about faith and science. Now let me posit. Thank you, Russell Ligon. I'm sure we try to educate Doc. You know, we're into, as we said the other night, we're in the infotainment. So now let me throw this out there. I'll also recognize benefits of science, church history, geography, human development, the physical sciences, the biological science. To me, and I'm only speaking for myself as Finesse, science is limited in this. It is my belief that science cannot prove faith. It can't prove faith. It can shed light on some of the elements of faith, like we talked about earlier, biblical criticism. But science can't prove faith And then for the haters, science can't disprove faith. It can't, to me. So, Dr. Thomas, please respond to that. Do you believe that?
Well, no. God, and God is science. And as you articulate faith, and you move it into the language of believing, I say once you have the consciousness of God, you cease to believe. You become to know. You can know. Now you may not convince somebody else of what you know, but you can know.
So
you can know God, and you can know the God of science and the science of God. You can know that, but when you operate from the dimension of your consciousness of believing, you're on your path. You're on your path. You see, I have an insight for myself of knowing, not only knowing mortality, but then I know immortality.
Right. All right, so faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I'll still, and Dr. Gardner, I want you to weigh in, because I don't want to, as the chief co-host, I'm not the only co-host, force my position. So I've stated it. Dr. Brown, you have stated your position, your perspective. Dr. Gardner, what is your perspective? I say that science can't prove faith, and that's the limit of science, or at least one of the limits of science. What do you say, Dr. Gardner?
Well, it goes back to what faith and what are you trying to prove? You know, are you trying to prove what I believe? Or are you trying to prove the existence of faith? Is that what you're trying to say? Are we trying to prove the existence of faith? Or are you trying to prove what faith itself believes?
Yeah, we're getting into some wordplay here tonight. So, all right, let's start at the most easily accessible comment you made. Can science prove the existence of faith? I think to the extent to which there are historically documented religious systems, for example, Judaism, Islam, Christianity, Taoism, Hinduism, that have institutions, have recorded writings, have practitioners, I think science, if you will, the human sciences can prove that faiths exist or religions exist. Now, can science prove the individual tenets of that religion by empirical analysis beyond the testimony, if you will, of its adherents? No, that's my belief. So again, I use the example of the resurrection. The resurrection can't be proven. I don't think it can be proven. And I think the evangelicals, and not only the white evangelicals, but I learned it from the white evangelicals, because when I was in college, I was part of, I would say, a conservative evangelical church. They use the scripture as, how can I put it, as a historical document, which to me, in there are elements of it that are historical, but then there are elements of it that are, it's a faith history. It's a history that's used, if you will, to shape faith. So it's Heilgeschichte. Is that the German doctor's Heilgeschichte?
Yeah, Heilgeschichte, yeah. I've been there and done that 40 years ago.
Yeah, sacred faith.
I would just throw this into you. Think about one of the things that never gets discussed when every time Jesus would start speaking, and according to Scripture, would begin to speak about the kingdom of God. Where did he say the kingdom of God is?
In some of the Gospels, he says the kingdom of God is within you, but there are other Gospels he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
I didn't say the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is within you. did he not also emphasize that even in the early Judaic tradition, that we are what? Little gods. Then
yes.
Often you pay attention to how they verbalized it, that if you are a child of God, then you have what? A quality of God within you. So when you have the quality of God within you, you have the quality of the God science and the science of God within you.
Dr. Gardner, your image has just become the clearest it's been since the show was started, so I appreciate you making that adjustment. And viewing audience, wow, we're already at 9:46. Viewing audience, listening audience, you are watching, and you are listening to Unchurched Live, a no-holds-barred spiritual conversation. Yes, doctor.
I've got a bad connection over here, and
Dr. Gardner, go ahead.
I said that I have a connection over here due to technical scientific difficulty. and so it's about to go out.
All right.
And so
Doc, stay, listen.
If I cut off, is going to cut the show off?
I don't know. So we're going to push forward. If you get cut off, try to come back in, because you can still use the same link. So everybody, this is an interesting conversation, because we all don't see eye to eye, and that's okay. You see, because at the end of the day, it's about us presenting options and for you to make the decision. So there are a couple things. Are there limits to science? Are science and faith two different realms of the same? I say two different. Dr. Brown says it's the same. Dr. Gardner, I think you're saying it overlaps. Isn't that interesting? And who's right or who's wrong? Neither or. What do you believe? So let me move on. Let's move on a little bit. If anybody wants to hit me up in the chat, hit us up in the chat. You can. If anyone wants to call in, 657-383-0106. Dr. Brown has called in through Blog Talk Radio, so you hear him, but you don't see him. Yet his presence is affecting positively this broadcast. All right, so Dr. Brown, explain how, and break it down for us, explain how I'm intrigued by your concept that science is God and God is science. And I'll quote Denzel, the inimitable Denzel Washington, in the movie Philadelphia. Explain it to us like I'm a 5-year-old. How is science God and God science? Please.
Okay, let me give you. I've had to do constant interviews during this week in regard to the killing and the assassinations and everything of Dr. King, Bobby Kennedy. And I said in a radio interview, I said the best thing that happened to Dr. King was his assassination.
Wow.
Because, and of course, that's what some said, wow. But having worked in the movement, having been with him, having been that, we in one culture, he is very much, really, Dr. King is more alive now with us than he was in the flesh.
Well, dead men, you know, Dr., dead men, as the poem says, dead men make convenient heroes, you see. And so I understand what you're saying. Let me just take
let me ask you a question. Because you are a pastor, you've done a lot of funerals. We are locked in on the funeral and the celebration of death, but we really don't understand that death is like a new resurrection of a new birth.
Agreed. And, Doctor, let me just read Michael K. Manning's comment, because I always like to recognize those two in the chat. Question: who was there at the beginning? Okay. I like Michael K. Manning. I like that. So at some point, even scientists have to exercise faith. I think, sir, that is what you're saying.
Well, let me.
What do you say?
I was listening because you kind of were breaking up a little bit, but I would say this to you, because we're all continual students. We're continuous students, and I always use one thing. It is by dying that we are, what I always say, wakened to eternal life. By dying, we awaken to eternal life. We fear, I've said it to Dr. Gardner, I guess he called, I say we fear to love and we love to fear. And the dynamics of that is the principle of your existence, my existence, is how we understand love and how we overcome fear to really experience eternal life. Now, I was taught long time ago by some, by my dad, life never dies and life is never born.
Yeah, we listen, everybody. We're dropping some heavy jewels tonight. We got the DRSs in the house. We got the PhDs and the EDDs and the D's and the D's in the house tonight. This is good stuff. Dr. Gardner, why don't you jump in?
No, man, I'm just taking it all in. And that's true, you know. I mean, if you want to look at God is science, then you have to look at it and say that, not be afraid to say that God is love. So it's easy to say that God is love. Is it easy to say that God is science? If you look at it as one and the same, then God... aspect that he's coming from.
Yes, Doctor, you broke up just a little bit. So let me adjust my original position and say this, that at some point even science is about faith. It may not be religious faith, and I'll define faith as belief in. You see what I'm trying to say? So at some level, and I knew this all along, at some level one has to believe in something that one can't empirically prove. Who, as Michael K. Manning said, who was there at the beginning? Who was there at the beginning? You see, I mean, we as persons of faith believe that God was there at the beginning. Charles Franklin said, amen, doctor. You see, so it's interesting that at some level we all have to believe something that we can't prove. you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Good adjustment. So gentlemen, we've kind of, I won't say exhausted the topic. I think we've fully explored the topic. And Dr. Gardner, for some reason your camera has frozen. It may be the internet connection.
It is.
Okay. All right.
So we'll,
it's all right. We'll listen to you. Listen, everybody, there are times when we have technological issues. We push forward. And we are going to end the show tonight. Faith and science. I appreciate both of my co-hosts, Dr. Brown and Dr. Gardner. Dr. Brown, thank you for coming on. Dr. Gardner, you know, you're here every week. We're together every week. This has been good. This is the first show where we've had divergent opinions, and we're setting out what we're saying for you to consider. Oh, Kathy Gardner, hold on. Let me go back. Let me go back to Facebook. Science proves the existence of God, the Creator. However, not all scientists accept God, therefore they separate science from God. Moreover, science is unable to make moral or ethical judgments. So science proves the existence of God. Okay. Listen, with 5 minutes left in the show, we could do a whole show just on that statement. So Kathy Gardner, we appreciate what you shared. And maybe there are those who believe that science proves the existence of God. I'm gonna take that under consideration. I've never looked at it like that.
Flip the script. God proves the existence of science.
Okay. All right, let me write this down in the chat. So, does science prove the existence of God, or does God prove the existence of science? I like that.
And guess what? Let me just throw this.
Yes,
God,
sir,
proves your existence, right?
God, all right, let me think about that. God proves my existence. God proves my existence.
Because
what do you mean
God
by that?
Is your creator.
God proves my existence. All right, I'll put that in the chat. God proves our existence. Dr. Gardner, what do you say about that? And I think Dr. Gardner just fell off. Yes, Deborah Gardner, thank you for liking the video. And I would just say this as we bring the show to a close in a few minutes. If you like what you're hearing, please share it. Thank you for the like. So we are having some technical issues tonight. So Dr. Gardner, you're back. Can you hear us? I don't think you can. So everybody, listen, we're having some technical issues tonight. I think we're at 9:57. We're about at the time when we close out the show. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I hope that it has been infotaining to you. It has challenged you, informed you, and inspired you. This is Unchurched Live, a no-holds-barred spiritual conversation for the seeker and the skeptic. I'm your co-host, Vanessa, along with my co-host, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner, my co-host, special guest co-host, Dr. Brown. Gentlemen, have a wonderful night. You know how we do. One love. Peace.
Right on.
Right on. All right. Have a good night, everybody. Bye-bye.